Falcon Cast Podcast, the ultimate podcast for the ultimate fan.
Now, here's AtlantaFalcons.com's own Jay Adams and Daniel Cox.
Hey, welcome in. It's another edition of the Falcon Cast Podcast. On AtlantaFalcons.com, I'm Jay Adams. To my left, Daniel Cox. We are currently recovering from the draft hangover, I think.
Sure.
We've just been loopy and
oh, yes.
A little crazy.
The prior 5 minutes to beginning this was...
Oh, those were golden minutes.
Sure.
Spent, and I don't even remember what we were talking about. Certainly not fit for air. But
had nothing to do with the draft either.
Had nothing to do with the draft either. But, well, we're past it. We've made it past it.
Yeah. And, what a draft it was.
I think that makes us both champions.
Yeah.
And any of you who followed along as well.
Sure.
Also, go ahead and throw on that championship belt because you made it. What a long process this year.
Yeah. It took forever. And then you always kind of forget, like on our, from our perspective, you know, going in, it's going to be a busy couple of days. And you just never, like, you don't really realize how busy it is until you're in it.
Yeah.
And it's just a whirlwind. First round and just on. And then, you know, once you hit the fort, like Saturday for us is probably our busiest day because there's so many picks. And you're trying to cover each pick.
It's rapid fire.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially when you get some picks that have some, like, kind of cool backstories and stuff like that. So you're trying to do as much of that as you possibly can. And so it makes it a little bit more challenging just from that aspect. But we're glad you are joining us here today and still listening to us talk about draft-related topics. Daniel and I are going to have four bold predictions, two from him, two from me, about the 2014 Atlanta Falcons rookie club, and you'll want to stay tuned for those. But we'll just chat a little bit about our first round pick here.
Yeah.
First is
because no one else is right?
Jake Matthews. Yeah, I mean, we were just remarking about that about how he's you call him the forgotten man. He started out as you know, the forgotten man, and he ended up as the forgotten man.
Sure.
And I think the way we were explaining it is that it's more of a positive thing because he's just kind of a given.
Yeah. And you know, and that it goes back to our good friend Nate on Twitter. He asked us what we thought, and you know, a lot of fans began to respond, and it was a cool little thread on Twitter. But it's funny how the name Jake Matthews was left out of, like, you know, who are you most excited about from the class? And it's just like, it's almost like it's just understood that Jake Matthews is, he's worth being excited about it, but he's also, like, he's just going to be a really good player. And leading up to the draft, like you said, you know, we called him the forgotten man. And it was because we were always talking about somebody else, and we just kind of knew Jake Matthews would be a top 6 to 10 pick, you know?
Yeah.
You just understood, so.
Yeah, and, you know, I think when you talk about the difference between offensive guys and defensive guys, there, at least when it comes to linemen or guys who could play linebacker, you end up getting a little bit more excited about the defensive guys, right? Because there's so much more that you can see. There's so much more that you can touch and feel, the tangible stuff, the sack stats, the
tackles for loss,
hurries, all that kind of stuff. You can touch and feel those things, right? When it comes to offensive linemen, we're talking much more about arm length and footwork and
his kick slide
technique and all these other kind of things that, while tangible, they're not showing up in the stat books, you know? And I think that causes a little bit of wonder about just how effective these guys are going to be. And I think Greg Robinson was kind of the exception to the rule here this year because there was so much talk about his high ceiling. Everybody was getting enamored by his potential.
Sure.
Meanwhile, the conversation, it was like the sidebar was like, yeah, but Jake Matthews is already pro ready.
Yeah, play and play. They call
him. He may not reach the heights that Greg Robinson could reach, but he's where he needs to be effective as a starter in the NFL today. And I think that storyline ended up being just kind of swept under because it's not as exciting as talking about what Greg Robinson could be or what Khalil Mack could get you or what Jadavian Clowney could get you. Sure. And I think that gets lost, and I think we're guilty of that as well. Absolutely. You know, we sat here and we were talking about Jadeveon Clowney, Khalil Mack, yeah. and sacks sure. and all this other stuff. And the fact of the matter is, when we pulled Jake Matthews' name off the board, I was ecstatic.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was absolutely ecstatic for that pick, and maybe I just didn't realize it leading into it. And Jake Matthews was my pick last week in this spot, and I went with him because I kind of just felt like that was going to be the pick, but there wasn't anything about it that like really got me excited because. Sure. He's going to be that guy, like you said, that you're just going to throw on the offensive line, right tackle, for this year, and you're not going to forget about him, but you're not going to be so concerned with him because that spot is going to be really locked down.
Yeah, it's almost like he's boring because we get, like you said, all the stats, especially with the defensive draft, the angle of that, the slant of this year's draft. We get excited about, you know, the potential of what could be with, you know, Hageman or, you know, any of these guys. How many sacks could he get? How could he affect, you know, the pass rush? What about all these linebackers? How are they going to, you know, how are they going to play in Nolan's system? Meanwhile, everyone is just, there's just an assumption that you got Jake Matthews, you're going to put in there, and he's going to be a good player.
Yeah. And, you know, Thomas Dimitroff said during the introductory press conference for Jake is that he's a pillar pick. That's what he called him.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, there's nothing sexy about that. And I want there to be, but it's just, it's one of those things where it's like, you've got your top offensive lineman for years and years to come.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Now let's, it's like, it's such sure. an over, you know, everybody's kind of looking over it, but make no mistake. I am really excited about having Jake Matthews as the top pick for the Falcons.
Absolutely.
And I think you look at this guy and we met him and we're around him and he's first of all huge.
Yeah.
Comes from a very huge family. Both in number and size.
Absolutely.
And he's extremely down to earth, hard worker. I mean, sure. that's all he could really talk about when he came was how ready he is to get out and work. And
sure.
of course, we're in the week where rookie minicamp is going to get underway, and so he's getting that chance to get to work. But that's really all he cared about on Friday when he came in for his introductory tour and press conference was just getting to work. And I think you know that's an impressive. Impressive thing when you're being forced into this spotlight for a day.
Sure.
You know, to be more concerned about, hey, let's just get on some pads and let's play.
Absolutely. And you know, look at his daddy, all the different, just the subtle traits and the work ethic even.
Yeah.
You know, he has had such an I mean, a Hall of Fame example for what it means to be a lineman in the NFL.
Yeah, Bruce Matthews, a 14-time Pro Bowler, which is tied for most ever in the NFL. First ballot Hall of Famer. I mean, is there a better mentor? Is there a better guy to look up to for an offensive lineman? I mean, I don't think there is.
No. I mean, and again, that's just another – I think that's another reason why it's not even like he's a can't-miss prospect like Andrew Luck, you know, the QB.
Yeah.
It's just – we just – he just seems so solid. If all he's going to do is just come in and be a solid player for 12 years.
Yeah. What more can you ask for from
absolutely.
A guy? And that's what we heard up leading up to the draft is how safe of a pick Jake Matthews is because you're going to get a great player out of this guy regardless.
Sure.
There's no question about his ceiling or whether he's going to reach that or he's there already. Okay, and then you know you don't have some of the other things that you wonder about. Can he go up against this kind of competition? Can he produce? Can he keep Matt Ryan clean? Like
sure.
you know that's what he's here to do, and that he can do that because he's already proven it. And every report leading up to the draft has been this is the safest pick, and now every report that I've seen after the draft is the best pick of the first round is Jake Matthews.
Yeah. That's a win.
That's a win. And I think I'm glad that we spent a few minutes talking about it because it seems to be just one of those stories that is kind of being overlooked in the draft, both nationally and among the fan base. I think Jake Matthews is a guy that you have to be excited about.
Absolutely.
He's going to be here for a very long time.
Hopefully.
And, you know, he's the type of guy who years from now could be in the Ring of Honor. I mean, that, and you can say that before he's even taken a snap, that he could be he has that potential to get there.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, thinking back, Mayock, you know, and a number of other guys, some of those draft analysts who I know we respect, you know, again, called him the cleanest prospect in the draft.
Yeah.
And now that we've gotten to know him a little bit, just in you know, dug a little deeper with stuff online and just reading about it, I mean, you can't argue with that.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
But I'm glad we spoke about him, because I felt like it would be he was with this podcast and where we might be headed with our conversation. I felt like he might get swept under the rug, and it just seemed odd that we would have a post draft podcast and not mention the first round pick.
Yeah, no, that wasn't going to happen. we do want to talk about some of the other guys, because I think it's equally important to talk about them. The Falcons came away with 8 players. Is that correct?
I believe so.
And forgive us on accuracy today, because so we're just going to tell you a bunch of wrong stuff. But
I know the names, and if we, it's probably not entertaining TV to watch us count it, so we're just going to
keep going. We're going to say 8, because that's ahead. What I count. Because we gave up 2 picks, we had 10, so that would be 8. We're doing math, and that's not my strong suit. So Falcons ended up with a number of draft picks to play around with. 4 linebackers taken on the 3rd day alone. Yeah. And so lots to talk about as far as some of the other guys go. So we have 4 predictions, 4 bold predictions. How bold are they really going to be? Are they going to be pretty bold?
I think so.
Okay. Well, you have a better idea than I do. So we're going to have 4 bold predictions. Daniel's got 2. I've got 2.
Sure.
And we're just going to talk about those.
Yeah. And this is in lieu of draft grades and things like that.
Sure. Yeah, I don't...
You know, so we can still discuss the guys. We're kind of, you know, maybe looking at it from a 2 years, 3 years down the line perspective.
Yeah,
because what might this draft look like in 3 years?
Right. That's really all you can. I mean, I don't know offhand, but you know, the draft that the Seahawks drafted Richard Sherman in the 5th round.
Sure.
What draft grade did they get?
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, you don't know what you've got on the team until. Yeah. A couple of years down the line. So, that being said, let's get into some bold predictions. Do you have one teed up already?
I do.
Okay, well, why don't you lead us off?
Okay.
Get us started down this path.
Like I said, you know, we've been asked a lot about who we like, what are we most excited about. Hands down, I'm the one player I'm absolutely highest on top of the mountain excited about is Rashid Hageman.
Mm-hmm. So what's your prediction then?
Okay, yeah, I know.
Are we getting to that part?
I'm getting there.
The prediction cannot be that you're excited about Rashid Hageman.
No.
I'm not going to let that fly.
So there, guys don't come into the league that are 6'6", 310 pounds, and are able to move like he is.
Yeah.
Like he's able to. I think Brian Cox will be the best thing that ever happened to Hageman. And... okay, this is just—it just sounds crazy to say this, but in 3 years, my prediction is Hageman is not necessarily playing on a J.J. Watt level in a 3-4 defense, but he's having a similar impact.
Mm, that is definitely bold,
yeah.
And I like it.
Yeah,
I like it.
I believe it, because you read the scouting report on Hageman, and it's there's some technique things, and there's a. It's not even a focus. I think his mind wanders sometimes in games because he's still a little raw, and he doesn't always have the technique to back up his just sheer ability.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now that he's in an NFL environment with a coach like Cox, I just think it's just going to really give him that direction that he needs.
Yeah,
as a player,
I completely agree. And we saw, you know, I was down in Mobile for the Senior Bowl, and I actually Rashid Hageman was one of the guys I talked to.
Sure,
and I was immediately impressed with this kid.
Yeah.
Very well spoken, has a really good personality, like really good guy.
Yeah.
But when I asked him, you know, I was more just looking to talk to anybody. I talked to Aaron Donald too, you know, about working with Coach Cox, because that was the first time that we had really seen him.
Right.
And so that was what I wanted to find out. And Hageman went on and on. Now, in the questions leading up to my question, from other reporters, there, you know, he wasn't. he didn't exactly get long-winded about it, you know?
Yeah.
When I asked him about working with Brian Cox, I mean, he went on for a while. And this was after maybe 3 days of working with him, just going on and on and on about how much he liked working with him, about how he's got, like, that tough love mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that he called it a love-hate relationship, sure. you know? And so what I loved about that was just how the connection that he had already made with Cox at that point, and that was in January.
Yeah.
And now we're talking about, okay, these guys are in a film room now,
sure.
you know, learning from each other and, you know, going full steam ahead with this. And that's really exciting to me because of the buy-in that after 3 days, Rashid Hageman had in Brian Cox was just huge for me.
Absolutely. I don't think you can dismiss that connection, that rapport that they've already built.
Yep.
And I think that, and Coach Smith, you know, has said it in some ways, and we'll never know for sure. But I'm confident that that what they saw at the Senior Bowl, obviously, but also that relationship had a lot to do with that pick.
Yeah. Okay. Here's going to be my first one, okay. All right? And we're going to go all the way to the seventh round for this one.
Uh-oh.
We're going all the way back to the end of the draft for this one. Okay. So at number 253, the Falcons selected UConn linebacker Yawan Smallwood. My bold prediction is that the seventh rounder makes the team, makes the 53-man roster.
Okay.
Linebacker right now is a very crowded position, yes. inside and outside.
Sure thing.
So, and obviously with what looks like a shift in defensive philosophy, there's going to be a lot of playing around, and I think a lot of guys are going to end up on even footing. You know, rookies and veterans alike are just going to be judged on a very even plane, I think, this year as we get into OTAs and mini camps and then training camp. But Smallwood is a guy who, after his junior year, was projected to be as high as a second-round pick.
Okay.
And you got him at number 253 overall just before players were set to hit free agency, the college free agent market was set to begin. I tweeted out, and I was actually out.
Yeah.
Morgan Andrew was our social media coordinator, was getting married, and I was over at the wedding there, and I saw that tweet come through that we had drafted Smallwood, and I'm like, oh my God, how is this guy even on the board? Because I hadn't been following the draft for like maybe the end of the fifth and then the end of the sixth round because I was driving out to Kennesaw.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, congratulations, absolutely. Morgan and Morgan and Andrew, now Morgan Alverson.
Yes.
You know, I hadn't been paying attention, so I kind of assumed that this guy was off the board, and then we ended up taking him, and I'm like, okay, wow.
Yeah.
Like, this guy's a steal. So I tweeted out, you know, that he was a steal, and I had a lot of people ask me why. Why would a seventh rounder be a steal? And I'm like, well, this guy, you know, projected to be maybe a second rounder after his junior year,
mm-hmm.
Projected to be a fourth rounder, as high as a fourth rounder coming into this year's draft. I think there's a lot of upside with this kid. There's something to work with there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, as long as he takes to what they're trying to teach him during rookie minicamp, during veteran minicamp, OTAs, all of that kind of stuff, I think the work he puts in the classroom between now and training camp is what's really going to tell the tale with him. But I really feel like this is a guy who could surprise a lot of people and make the team. So that's going to be my bold prediction.
Okay. I like it. All right. My next one, my last one, Marquise Spruill.
Okay.
Tough one.
Syracuse.
Tough one for me to say. Yeah. You're one of your Syracuse guys. And again, this I'm looking down the line a little bit. 2-3 years down the line, my bold prediction is Spruill will be one of two middle linebackers in a 3-4 defense for the Falcons.
There you go.
He just seems like he's a perfect fit. He's that mold of inside guy that you want. He sees and he goes and tackles.
Yep.
And then he just does it over and over again.
Yeah.
And you know, that's a fifth round pick. They traded a sixth and a seventh to move up to grab him. And that's a sign that they thought highly of him, regardless of where you know where he was drafted in the draft. You know, they moved up to get him, and I think that's going to be. I wouldn't call it a steal because I don't know. I'm not projecting. I don't know that you know. We don't know Pro Bowls or whatever, but mm-hmm. I just see him as a guy that can come in and do that role, and I think he'd do it well.
And I think he's going to be a real big contributor on special teams as well.
Absolutely. I think he was. I might be wrong here, but I remember Coach Smith mentioning in his post in our post draft press conference late Saturday night, they had him rated as one of the top special teams players in the draft.
I think you're right. Yeah. So that's definitely a guy who can be a special teams guy. But I think you're right. I think he could end up being a situational player, mm-hmm. Or at least a depth guy that you play at inside linebacker. So I agree there. I'm a Syracuse guy, so a lot of people were asking me afterwards. Sure. They're like, what do you think of this guy? I'm like, did he play basketball? Because I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about Syracuse football is that, you know, it takes
some guts to watch.
It takes some guts. It takes a lot of character to watch it. Yeah. You know, and I didn't watch a ton of it. Although undrafted free agent running back Jerome Smith that we picked up, I am familiar with, and I think he's a good get. So, Sproul, just in doing my research on him, talking to a lot of people that I know who follow Syracuse football a lot closer than I do, every indication is that you get a solid pick there.
Yeah.
And get a good guy coming in. So, and he's excited to be here too.
Sure.
I've seen him on Twitter and Instagram. Very excited about being here, and I love to see that.
Oh, absolutely.
Love to see that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
I am going to go off the grid here with my last prediction.
Okay.
And I'm going to go away from the drafted rookie club.
Sure.
And I'm going to go into the undrafted. So I just mentioned one of the undrafteds. But mm-hmm. I'm going to go ahead, and my bold prediction is going to be Wisconsin tight end Jacob Peterson makes the team.
Ah.
So I got two. Both of my predictions are that somebody's going to make the team. But I think that's a bold enough prediction. I think, you know, a lot of fans were wondering, where's the tight end, where's the tight end, where's the tight end? Okay. And I thought that, you know, the team has made it pretty clear, at least in my estimation,
sure.
that Levine Toilolo is going to be that guy going forward. Red zone snaps. Mm-hmm. I mean, those opportunities are going to go to him. He's going to be your pass catcher in those situations. And I think, you know, what helps hammer home that point is that you bring in Per Pasco, who's mm-hmm. a veteran tight end who is known for his blocking.
Sure.
He's not a pass catcher.
Yep.
He can, but very good blocker. Okay. And then you're kind of wide open.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, yeah. There's only two guys on the roster,
Andrew Zerba out of Penn State, and
sure.
Mickey Schuler, both of which will have a chance to mm-hmm. make the 53. And then you bring in Brian Wozniak, who's also from Wisconsin as an undrafted free agent, and you bring in Jacob Peterson,
sure.
who I thought would have been maybe a fifth rounder.
Yeah.
I had him just, you know, in the Fedorowicz category. You know, we talked about CJ Fedorowicz a little bit on the draft cast. Peterson was in there. We never talked about him.
Mm-hmm.
But I do remember seeing him at the Senior Bowl and thinking, okay, this is a good guy. He's more of a pass catcher.
Sure.
You know, and that's the other thing that makes me believe that he's going to be around for a while. I'm going to go ahead and say that he's going to make the 53, but he could easily be a practice squad guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I really am surprised that he did not get drafted, and that you had the opportunity to get him in the undrafted free agency period, which is fast and furious as soon as the draft ends. But Peterson's a guy who really excites me. He had a solid career at Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Good pass-catching option. I think he was overshadowed a little bit at the Senior Bowl. He was on a team with Fedorowicz, and then obviously Crockett Gilmore from the South team had a heck of a Senior Bowl, and then fans were kind of paying attention to Arthur Lynch out of Georgia. But I think Jacob Peterson is a fantastic get in the undrafted free agency market. And I really feel like this kid can prove that he belongs on an NFL team, and this could very well be the one for him. So that's going to be my prediction.
Okay, that's a good one.
And just as a guy to watch, I mean, everything that I'm hearing about the undrafted free agent class that the Falcons brought in is that this James Stone out of Tennessee is something else.
As a center.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he played basically every game that he was there for. The guy I'm looking out for, I'm curious, and I think this is the name we're going to hear. It's going to be one of those guys in camp that just kind of creates a buzz. Roosevelt Nix.
Yeah.
The guy that he's switching from defensive tackle defensive
to fullback.
To fullback.
Nothing like buzz from a fullback, huh? Fullback creating all that buzz.
But look him up. If you haven't yet, Google him, read some stuff on him on our site. He's got, from a defensive perspective in his college career at Kent State was phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know, he's got just from a size perspective, he obviously he's switching to fullback for a reason.
You're going to see him in the backfield and be like, what is that guy doing in the backfield?
Some other guys have made that transition, though.
Yeah.
A number of them have.
They have. They have. And last year when we got into this period of the year, there were a couple of guys that the Falcons brought in to make that transition to fullback and tried it out,
mm-hmm.
None of them remain. Deion Goggins was one from Syracuse. He was a linebacker, came in and tried to make that switch to fullback, and then there was a Maryland tight end that they tried to move over to fullback last year. But this is that time of year when you play around with some of these things.
Yeah.
And I saw on the roster Adam Riplogle who was a practice squad guy last year and then signed to the roster for the very last game, has moved from defensive line to offensive line.
Sure.
So we'll have to see how that plays out, because that's kind of an untold story at this point. But now is the time to be tinkering around with that kind of stuff, I think you're going to see a lot of that. But certainly some guys in the drafted rookie club and the undrafted side of it to be excited about. And so those are our bold predictions. Those four, you can take them to the bank, because you know they're as good as money.
Yes, absolutely.
They're not. Somebody's got, you know what, in 3 years, Twitter is going to be like, hey, you remember that time you said? Yeah. Somebody's going to, and I know. It's fine. I'll own it. It's cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But rookie minicamp gets underway Friday, Saturday, and Sunday here in Flowery Branch. We will be here for the entire time bringing you coverage, photos, videos, and a lot more. So make sure to come to AtlantaFalcons.com throughout the weekend for your coverage needs.
Yep.
And we'll be back in a week to talk a little bit more about how that went. Thanks again for joining us here on the Falcon Cast Podcast.